You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. It's the state of feeling calm. This is the simple dictionary definition of being zen. But do you feel like you're having trouble finding your zen and maybe even questioning your mental health a little bit right now? You're not alone. And this issue's cover story is a focus on World Mental Health Awareness Month. But even more importantly, Terry Barr talks with an expert on joy. Learn how flipping some of your negative thoughts can create lasting change, and even more, provide more optimism in your everyday life. We have a commentary from Amanda Nimmer that's sure to make you hysterical, at least with laughter, as she looks at hysteria and women's mental health in the 1800s. We also have stories on a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing tools for first responders to use and how it's helping them support kids during a crisis. It's that time of year when many of you may be getting ready to store your recreational equipment. We'll share how you can protect both your boat and your wallet. And we look at train derailments in Wisconsin. Plus, Pete Schwabe has his classic cinema pick of the week. And later on, the music of Shikari Desiree. This Wisconsin-based artist has some incredible stories to share. And you'll want to hear how she's doing it through her songs. I open up this issue with a look at something that, while not exactly mental health related, is adjacent to mental health: addiction, substance use and abuse, and recovery. September was National Recovery Month, which transitions nicely into October, designated as Mental Health Awareness Month. Mental health issues can and do sometimes translate into substance use and abuse disorders. Here in New Wisco, Apricity Services helps people find recovery, support, and at times, employment. Apricity Services, based in Appleton, is a nonprofit organization that offers recovery services for every person, every family, and every community. They offer everything from residential treatment for addiction, peer-based recovery, transitional housing, sober living, and even employment services. Dan Hawk is the president of contract packaging and recovery support at Apricity.
There's no one size fits all for recovery. People need different help with all different kinds of things. Once people complete treatment, they're looking for what's next. And so Apricity provides employment opportunities so that once they're done and ready to move on to the next thing, we have job opportunities. So they're working in our building. We provide supported employment, teach them how to be better employees and get ready for the next job or school or whatever they might try to pursue.
Jolie Vervoort, Apricity's president of residential treatment, said there are many misconceptions about substance abuse, addiction, and recovery.
First of all, help is there and it's not too far out of reach. And I think a lot of people think they're in this disease alone and that there's nobody to help, and there is. Another misconception is I'm not sick enough, or I haven't used long enough, or I haven't been in enough trouble, or I haven't had enough negative consequences. If you're thinking about your using to the point of, I wonder if I have a problem, it might be time to take a peek at what's really happening.
Hawk said, in addition to recovery and treatment, Apricity continues to support with sober living and transitional housing.
And then we also have some transitional housing options. So we have sober living in Neenah. We have some transitional houses in Appleton for people to kind of work through the process of getting back on their feet. There's a lot of places that aren't ready to rent to them right out of the gate. So this creates a little bit of time and stability for them to sort things out and be more successful.
Vervoort emphasized that Apricity wants to help and offers programs for individuals who are currently sober and those who are seeking sobriety.
If they would like to work at Apricity Contract Packaging, they just need to be sober. That is all that they need to be. If they want to live in one of Apricity's sober living houses, they just need to be sober. When they come to Apricity Residential Treatment, typically they have struggled and they don't have any clean time behind them.
To learn more about recovery and Apricity, visit their website, APRICITYServices.com. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. It's getting close to the time to put away the boats and the recreational vehicles. New Wisco Weekend's Joanne Krulatz has a story on making sure your possessions and your wallet are protected.
We have entered the month of October, and during this time of year, many consumers are storing their summer recreational vehicles so they are protected during the winter. When looking for a storage building, it is best to search for a licensed public warehouse. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
You may have some fun summer toys, think boats, recreational vehicles, or other items that could need storage. And we want everyone to be aware that DADCAP is responsible for regulating public warehouse keepers who store for hire. And what store for hire means is that a public warehouse keeper is paid to maintain custody of another person's stored property. This doesn't include those rental storage units or self-storage, where consumers who rent those types of units assume the responsibility for the safekeeping of the property stored in the rented space, and then they have access to their unit either during normal business hours or maybe, you know, it's 24/7. But in public warehouse keepers, they are licensed by DADCAP and include many types of businesses that store a variety of items for individuals or other businesses. They could include a warehousing company that handles product distribution, maybe a moving company that stores household goods, a vehicle dealership or service center that provides off-season storage for boats, RVs, power sport vehicles, or even farmers who offer an empty barn, shed, or field as a storage space.
When choosing a public warehouse, make sure it fits your storage needs.
We want consumers to make sure that when they are selecting a public warehouse, they consider those storage requirements that they have for the property they are storing, and is the storage they're looking at appropriate for those needs. So a perfect example is if my property is going to be stored indoors or outdoors, that may or may not be appropriate for the type of item that you're going to be storing. We also want to make sure that it's suitable for the products that are stored, but make sure to use a licensed facility. And one way you can do that is by checking out the licensed facilities on our website, because we go through a whole bunch of questions and make sure that they are meeting the requirements of the regulations.
Michelle Reinen also suggests contacting your insurance company in case you need any type of coverage to help protect your stored items.
Public warehouse keepers are required to have insurance that will only cover particular situations, and based on the good that you're storing, that may cover things, but you also may need enhanced coverage for the item that the other factors that aren't covered. So that is something you'll want to talk to your insurance agent about to see if you would want enhanced coverage, again, based on the value of the item.
You can find a list of licensed public warehouses on DATCAP's website at datcp.wi.gov. Also, if you have any questions about public warehouses, or if you are a victim of a scam, you can contact DATCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
You know, the 1800s weren't exactly kind to women when it came to mental health. There's a reason why hysterectomy and hysterical contain the same root word. Here's our commentator, Amanda Nimmer, with a look back in time.
Mental health has sure come a long, long way from the 18th century. I mean, it's still difficult to get treated, seeing as many people still don't take mental health seriously in this day and age. So why did I bring up the 18th century? Well, I mean, we have come a long way. You should see what was happening then. Yes, I'm talking about hysteria. What in the world is hysteria? Well, throughout the 18th and 19th centuries, hysteria was a very common diagnosis, mostly for women. Now, men could get hysteria. But this was definitely pinned on the females. It's an alleged mental health condition that explained away any behavior or symptoms that made men uncomfortable. Hysteria symptoms may include a swollen abdomen, suffocating angina, which is chest pain, shortness of breath, difficulty swallowing, cold extremities, tears and laughter, yawning, stretching and yawning, delirium, a close and driving pulse, and this last one's my absolute favorite, an abundant and clear urine, which for anyone listening would know means you are well hydrated. Yeah. Any of those marked you as a woman with hysteria. In fact, sexual deprivation was another cause of female hysteria, besides a vaporous ailment that was in the air, pollution in large urban areas. Basically, it was a bunch of crap, but women kept getting diagnosed with hysteria. So how did they treat it? Well, let's start with the less fun ones, shall we? One treatment of hysteria was through mesmerism, which is like a psychomatic therapy created by a German doctor who, yes, was a guy in the 18th century Europe. Basically, it was kind of like using magnets and hypnotism. It was weird and very, very easily disproven to actually do anything. But you know what? Science has to start somewhere. Another treatment was called rest cure. It involved lots of bed rest and an avoidance of all physical and intellectual activity. At least for the women. If a man came in with hysteria and he prescribed this, he would encourage the man to engage in lots of outdoor exercise. And then there was this treatment. Now, I would like to preface this by saying it was never confirmed that this was 100% an absolute treatment. However, it is argued still to this day that it was. And in the late 19th century, it has been argued that doctors would often treat female patients. I'm trying to figure out a radio-friendly way to say this so that Lisa doesn't yell at me. By forcing women to have the big O. Getting to that finish line. A shiver me timbers all up and down the body. You get what I'm saying? A very erotic massage in the no-no places. So it would make sense to find out that some women would perhaps fake symptoms of hysteria in order to get treatment. I mean, wouldn't you? Bed rest, no physical activity, no intellectual conversations, any mother, especially mothers back then with like, what, 4+ kids that they're pumping out left and right, doing everything by themselves and being expected to. And they're hearing, what, this is a treatment for hysteria? To be left alone in peace and quiet and not expected to do a thing? Sign me up! But ultimately, that is what mental health was for the women. To easily be labeled as hysteric for basically having simple emotions. So when we fast forward from there to where we are now, massive improvements. However, problems still do exist and getting your symptoms to be taken seriously. Because trust me, I've been through it myself, where it's, I have this feeling and they just want to toss pills at you. Let me tell you, I spent years avoiding medication. Years. Decade. And I went through the ringer with my own mental health. And after I had my son, my first child, I finally agreed to it. And I can say, wholeheartedly, I am glad I did, but I didn't do it blindly. Make sure you know the difference between a psychiatrist and a psychologist. Psychiatrists diagnose and prescribe the pills. Psychologists use therapy to get you through it. They go hand in hand. You can't rely on one, not always. Or, if we've learned anything from history, bed rest, no physical activity, no overstimulating conversations, and a little friend to get you all the way home. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
When we come back, our cover story focuses on a few things you can do to help your mental health and find more joy in your life. It's coming up in about 12 minutes. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is New Wisco Weekend on your local civic media radio stations, WGBW in Green Bay and WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Our theme this week is mental health. You may have heard of 988. It's a free lifeline to call or text for support. The latest report from state health officials shows close to 7,000 people from across Wisconsin contacted 988 during August of 2025. That number is 26% higher than 1 year ago. The report also indicates the main reasons people are reaching out to 988 are stress and concerns about mental health. If you need support, call or text 988 anytime. Here's Pete Schwabo with the classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabo's classic movie pick of the week.
With this week's topic being pretty serious with mental health, what better way to deal than to have a few laughs about the subject? This week's classic movie pick takes us back to 1991, where two actors at the top of their game square off in the film What About Bob? Bob Wiley, played hilariously by Bill Murray, is a New Yorker who suffers from multiple phobias. Incessantly distressed, Bob is a handful for any therapist and as a result drives one of them out of the business completely. On the way out the door, the exhausted counselor refers Bob to another therapist named Dr. Leo Marvin, played by Richard Dreyfuss. Marvin is egotistical and has a new book coming out called Baby Steps that he feels will immortalize him in the field. After getting to know each other, Marvin tells Bob he is going on vacation for a month with his family, giving Bob a serious case of separation anxiety. After badgering Dr. Marvin's answering service but getting nowhere, Bob poses as a detective investigating the suicide of none other than Bob Wiley. His plan works, and much to the dismay of Dr. Marvin, Bob shows up in the same New Hampshire town. Dreyfuss's character tries to negotiate with Bob, but Bob gets an assist in tracking down Dr. Marvin thanks to local coffee shop owners who are outbid for the lake house by the arrogant Dr. Marvin. For retribution, the coffee shop owners escort Bob right to Leo's lake house doorstep. Bob meets Marvin's family and endears himself to them with his quirky eccentricities. The family is charmed by Bob, but the patriarch slowly sinks into madness to the point where he steals explosives, straps Bob to a chair in the woods, calling it death therapy.
I said, I'm gonna kill you.
But if you shoot me, then our therapy will be over.
I'm not gonna shoot you, Bob. I don't think I could shoot anybody. I am gonna blow you up. See? This is called black powder, Bob. One teaspoon of this stuff can blow up a tree stump. There we go.
And how much is this?
20 pounds worth. You understand, don't you? There's no other solution. You won't go away.
I will.
No, you won't. You're just saying you will. But then, after I don't kill you, you'll show up again. And you'll do something else to make everyone in my life think you're wonderful and I'm a schmuck. But I'm not a schmuck, Bob. And I'm not gonna let you breeze into town and take my family away from me just because you're crazy enough to be fun.
There was lots of on-set drama during the filming of this comedy. What was happening in the clip was fictitious, but there were some bad feelings between the two lead actors all throughout the shoot. Dreyfuss called his experience on What About Bob terribly unpleasant, saying he and Murray did not get along at all. Legend has it things got so bad between Murray and Dreyfuss that Murray had a meltdown on the set that was so explosive, the entire cast and crew left and flew back to Los Angeles. Dreyfuss even said Murray threatened to get violent with him right before the crew walked off. Filming finally resumed after Disney hired bodyguards to keep both Murray and Dreyfuss apart. Richard Dreyfuss says to this day he doesn't like Murray, but that Murray does make him laugh even now. Director Frank Oz said he took the gig because his pal Jim Henson had recently passed away and thought working on a comedy would be therapeutic. Oz has put together one of the most unique and interesting resumes in all of show business over the course of his long career. He was a puppeteer and the voice of Yoda in the Star Wars films. He worked on the show Sesame Street for over a decade, where he voiced beloved characters Bert, Grover, and Cookie Monster. He's also voiced numerous characters in more recent movies like Inside Out, and in addition to What About Bob, has directed films like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, In-N-Out, Bowfinger, and of course the classic The Muppets Take Manhattan. Oz has said in later years that working with Dreyfuss and Murray was very difficult, and also said Murray had issues with producer Laura Ziskin. At one point, after a disagreement, Murray actually threw Ziskin in a lake. Ziskin, while acknowledging she was thrown in a lake, said it was in a playful manner, but still. Ziskin also says the drama on the set went above and beyond that of other other film sets and was not normal. So check out this film in which Bill Murray says he drove Richard Dreyfuss nuts on the set, and Dreyfuss encouraged Murray to drive him nuts because it worked. If nothing else, it resulted in some very big laughs. What About Bob is this week's classic pick. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
Last month, thousands of gallons of crude oil was spilled when a train derailed in Dodge County. This wasn't the first time a train had derailed in the county this year. It made Civic Media's Parker Olson ask, how often do trains derail in Wisconsin, and why?
From time to time across Wisconsin, trains derail from their track. In 2023, there were 27 reported derailments. The accidents are dangerous and can not only cost a lot of money, but also have the potential to spill hazardous materials. Oftentimes, these derailments happen in or close to populated areas. The National League of Cities says that two-thirds of all rail accidents happen within cities. That's because in and around those urban areas, the track has more curves and turns. That's when there's a higher chance of something going wrong.
When things go bad, they go really bad.
That's Mark Burrows, a retired locomotive engineer and the editor of the Railroad Workers United newsletter. According to him, train derailments have a few primary causes.
Inspection of the rolling stock, inspection of the tracks, the ridiculously long and heavy freight trains, and insufficient training.
Burrows also says jobs have been cut over the years, making crews smaller, all while trains get longer. Some trains are well over a mile and a half long, posing a challenge for crews that often are just an engineer and a conductor. That's an issue of its own, cuts to crew size and jobs in general. Our research found that there have been 45 derailments in Wisconsin since 2023.
You're listening to New Wisco Weekend. I'm your host, Lisa Hale. Let's turn the page to our cover story. Are you able to find a moment of calm in your everyday life? It feels more important than ever, but with all the daily stresses, it might be the first thing to get pushed aside on your schedule. Terry Barr sits down with a joy expert to find out how to ditch your negative thoughts and why it's so important to take time to protect your mental health.
Finding a moment of zen, does it feel like it's more important than ever? I have someone that I am really excited to introduce you to. Her name is Kira Sabin. Kira is a positive psychology practitioner. Ooh, we're going to ask you for some decent mental health advice today, Kira. Thanks for being here.
I am so happy to be here, Terry. I love talking about mental health. I love talking about joy and happiness and contentment and all the things that get us there, because I don't think we discuss it enough.
That was a question I wanted to ask you to start with. Does it feel people are talking more openly about mental health and their feelings and emotions? Or is it just something we're noticing more?
I don't remember the word mental health coming up until at least the 90s. You and I are probably around the same age, right?
So yes.
It is something for surely, I think, getting destigmatized, which is great, right? Like people are more just open to saying, hey, I'm struggling right now, or I need more support than maybe I did in the past. And I think that that can only be good, because what I think we forgot is that we're supposed to be doing this together as humans. We were never supposed to be individuals. We were never supposed to be stuck in our little homes or apartments by ourselves, not interacting with others. And I think we've lost the way a little bit. Psychology and positive psychology point to that.
People seem angry too. And I don't know if it's the news cycle, but why are we sort of in that need right now? I feel, and I feel this from my friends and family, people are trying to protect their mental health. And it is, especially now, isn't it?
I think so, because we are just inundated with so much information all day, every day. Our brains were never meant for that. Our brains were not supposed to see the doom and gloom of our whole entire world before breakfast. That is not the way that our brains have kind of wired themselves or evolved. And so we are burning ourselves out before we've had our coffee.
So let me ask you this. It is World Mental Health Month. Sometimes you hear these, oh, it's this month or this day.
Right.
But is this one of those that maybe it's a good time and a good reason to start finding the habit of looking for zen or for some peace in your life?
I don't care if it's a mental health day, month, year, or decade. Whatever we can do to get people looking at how they're processing their feelings on a daily basis, how they're dealing with burnout and too much information and technology. I don't care where that conversation's coming from. I just think we need to be having it, because there is a part of us that trusted that as we got these phones and now 24-hour news 7 days a week, people were going to kind of take care of it for us. And I don't think that that's true. Personally, I think that there's quite a bit of information out there that also backs that up. Just because we can doesn't mean we should. And just because we can check the news any moment of the day doesn't mean it's healthy for us. It doesn't mean it's good for our brains. And then ultimately, I talk a lot about joy and happiness. One of the things I talk a lot with my clients about is feeling safe in our brains, feeling safe in our bodies, feeling safe in our environments. And honestly, every time we open up a phone and we don't know what it's going to say, we are instantly unsafe.
Yes.
And then we start to numb, and then we start to shut down, or then we start doom scrolling just to get more information that usually keeps us feeling unsafe. And then we do it day after day after day. And that's how burnout happens. That's how we become exhausted and angry, because yes, we feel like the world is moving at a speed that we can't keep up with on some level and shouldn't.
I'm talking with Kira Sabin, and she is a positive psychology practitioner. You are what we need right now. So where do we start, Kira? How do we get this into our lives if we've never done anything like this before? You know, taking that moment of Zen, or just finding a place where you can find some peace.
The best part about, I think, 2025 is that there is now science and research and people who have spent the last 25 years understanding what makes us happy. Wasn't me, right? I am just luckily learning and sharing and coaching around this information. But we now know many of the things that we were taught, which are achievements or degrees or promotions, they don't really add up to much when it comes to our happiness. Our happiness is based on daily activities that we do daily, not that once a year vacation, not that every once in a while. It's daily activities. And some of the greatest places to start are, number one, with, you've probably heard the word gratitude. I love to call it glimmers. Mm. That's what I do, because I like a little extra sparkle in everything I do. But just looking for the good every day, because it gets really easy to focus on the negative. And in fact, our brains naturally go to the negative.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of hack them and look for the good, or we'll just be stuck in the negative all the time.
That was great advice for maybe taking a first easy step. Is there any other gentle, positive words that you can leave with us today?
Of course, connection. Find your connection, even if that's just the people that you feel closest to, reaching out more, making plans. You know, reach out to your neighbors. I was just thinking this morning about how my parents did progressive dinners in the neighborhood, and they would all go to each other's houses for a different course, and all the kids would come along and just eat the desserts. And there's just so many ways to connect in a way that we don't anymore. Mm-hmm. Look for the connections. As Mr. Rogers says, look for the helpers. They're everywhere. People want to connect. We need to connect. And in fact, humanity has evolved because we were willing to connect and be in community with each other. And so we have to go back to that. If we just start noticing some of the positives, if we start welcoming people that we trust and help us feel safe back into our lives, or find new community, honestly, I really believe things will start changing. Even just giving each other hugs.
Oh.
Terry, did you know that kind of for survival, we need 4 hugs a day?
I did not, but I would love to have 4 hugs a day.
Yes, and that includes our pets. So make sure that if you're not getting human hugs, that we're also getting pet hugs or something, because we need that. It settles our system. It kicks in our oxytocin. It kicks in our dopamine, and so that we settle down. All of those things are just small little ways that we can add to our day, but actually make a really large impact.
Mm. So I love it. Being grateful, finding your connections, getting hugs. It sounds like it's an easy place to at least try to make this start.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the best thing I think about positive psychology is so much of psychology has been on what's wrong with us. And this is looking at what's right with us. What is working? What can we lean into? And the more and more that we do that, it's amazing how things line up and we just start feeling better. And then we have the energy to really change the world.
Kira, I feel better already talking with you today. So thank you so much. Kira Sabin, she is a positive psychology practitioner. She has a great Instagram feed if you want to follow her. Find her at KiraSabin. And you'll find some joy in her feed as well. Kira, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Terry. Always happy to talk about joy.
When first responders arrive at any scene, whether it be an accident, a criminal arrest, a house fire, or other traumatic event, the most vulnerable and sometimes the most scared individuals at that scene will be the children. Reach a Child is an organization dedicated to helping first responders connect and comfort children in a crisis. Kate Mann, the Reach a Child Executive Director, became aware of the organization through her other job as an officer of the Oshkosh Police Department.
We've been using this program for over 10 years now, and it supplies first responders with books that they can use to comfort and distract children who are in crisis situations.
Reach a Child, based in Madison, serves over 350 departments and first responder localities throughout the state. It donates bags filled with books to the departments.
In these Reach bags are a variety of books and drawstring bags that the responders will carry in the squad car, the fire trucks, and the ambulances. So when they encounter a child in crisis, they have these valuable resources there and ready to use.
But why does Reach a Child use books to help first responders connect to children in crisis?
And this is a way that we can help to comfort them and also distract them, take their mind off of the crisis at hand versus, say, a stuffed animal, which, you know, it can comfort in its own way. That doesn't really distract from the crisis. But when we can get them engaged in a book, that really helps to calm them down.
When the crisis is over, the children get to keep the books read to them or used by the first responders to help calm them. The books in each Reach a Child bag are suitable for kids ages 2 to 12 years old. Mann shares a personal story involving Reach a Child.
So, and I actually have a personal story of how I utilized it when I was on patrol. We responded to a really bad domestic disturbance in which we had to arrest both of the adults in the family for engaging in the physical disturbance. And we had three kids that were there. We were going to be with them for a lengthy period of time until juvenile services arrived on scene. And it was over about an hour that we were there with them. And, you know, we were thinking, you know, what can we do to help comfort them and calm them? Because what they just witnessed before we even arrived on scene was very traumatic for them. So I recalled that we had these Reach a Child bags in our squad car. So I was able to go retrieve the bag and read through several of the different books. And you could just see how the kids started to calm down and were distracted and comforted through the different stories that we were reading.
Although no longer a patrol officer, Mann says she still uses the Reach a Child bags to connect with children in the community.
Now, in my current role as the Public Affairs and Public Information Officer, I use them also at community outreach events. So I'm free to give the books out and interact with kids and families in that way as well.
Reach a Child applies for grants and seeks sponsorships and other donations to help cover the costs of supplying bags to the first responder organizations. They are fully aware that those departments do not have the funds for these important tools.
Speaking as a first responder, you know, our budgets are pretty tight and we don't have extra money to spend for books, right, to hand out to kids in crisis. So this is a wonderful tool that's provided to first responders free of charge that they can use in a proactive way when they encounter kids in crisis.
If you'd like to donate to Reach a Child, visit reachachild.org and click on the donate button.
We also love when people do book drives for us, because that, again, provides those books directly to us that we can give to the first responders.
Mann said the organization aims to supply all of Wisconsin's first responder departments with Reach-A-Child bags.
Our goal is to get all of the first responder departments involved in our program. And I believe there are about 600 different first responder groups in Wisconsin. So
first responders can begin the process of finding sponsors and getting Reach-A-Child bags at the website. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. Still ahead, the joy of music. How one Wisconsin artist is using the incredible power of her voice to share her story. You're listening to New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. A Wisconsin artist is starting to get attention for both the power of her words and her voice. We turn to our friends with the Max Inc. Radio Music Show as Shikari Desiree joins them live in studio at Civic Media's headquarters in Madison.
With a voice that commands attention and infectious spirit that radiates joy, Shikari Desiree. Let me get it right. Desiree embodies the magic of performance, a passionate singer. Each note she delivers is infused with her love for art and gratitude for the opportunity to share it.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me. Hey, everybody listening. How y'all doing?
Shikari, tell us how you got started in music. What's your backstory?
Well, the story is I sang before I spoke. And if I can remember it the right way, that's very true.
This is Shikari Desiree.
$5 left to my name. Sitting, struggling, wondering what to do. I don't know how to do anything illegal yet. On my mind all the time, what am I gonna do? Dainty, put my napkin across my lap. All of you guys gone for their high fives. Seeing a pretty young filly such as moi stringing along, crossing your arm. Lead the way as long as you pay. Let my feline incline. How can I when I always have to provide? It gets hard for a single parent. Baby gets sick, can't go to daycare, get a strike, another strike could lose your life. Can't afford to really survive unless somebody in on your circumstances tell you pushing on, keeping on. What if I'm folding under pressure, and you may think I'm wrong for having depression. pretty, smell so good, you'll want to eat me alive. If you provide, pay for everything, I'll be sure to have a clean home, settle children, dinner hot and ready by five. And that's Sugar Daddy by me, Chikari Dejavree.
Oh, wow. I'm speechless. That was totally amazing.
Well, thank you.
Where do you get lyrical inspiration from?
Okay, so experiences in this life, people come up to you trying to pay your bills, but, you know, motives behind these things. And
yeah.
I'll take those things and I'll just make a song out of it. My experience is how I make my music, for sure.
Chikari, last year you released a full album, and I read in the Isthmus that you recorded the vocal tracks on your phone in the bathroom.
Everything you hear tonight was recorded on my phone in the bathroom. That's how I do it. Yeah.
Well, I imagine there's got to be a natural reverb there, huh?
It is. It's a closed space, door closed, windows closed. It's nice.
It's like when you're singing in the shower, you know?
Yes, it literally is, without the water.
Well, let's hear it. Residio, you are listening to Chikari Dejavree.
Hello, you have a prepaid call from
Jamate.
Hello, you have a prepaid call from
Jamate.
Being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at mental health. New Wisco Weekend is written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale, directed and produced by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Joanne Krulatz, Parker Olson, Pete Schwaba, and commentator Amanda Nimmer. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email me anytime. Lisa.Hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW. Be unstoppable.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.